Okay, I'm Chaim, I'm a sexaholic. Step four, maybe we could gather around. I think it'd be a little
intimate.
You wanna gather around?
A little bit more intimate?
Yeah. Okay, so like we're saying, basically, in short, step four is really the turning point, like everybody shared really by the meeting today, especially the holidays and everything coming up. There are definitely going to be resentments and fears and a lot of insanity going on. The beauty, I remember in early recovery, the first time I went through a holiday, but I had step four with me, it just made life so much easier. Like what we did last time, I think I would like to do it again, but in a sense over the holiday. So the idea is I wake up in the morning, the day after the big feast, tonight, let's call it, and my stomach is killing, I have that slight headache, I'm not sure what to do with myself. So I wake up, and by my eyelids not even opening yet, I'm already feeling resentment, I'm feeling fear, I'm feeling anger, I'm feeling frustration. So I go right away, just by the mere fact of me waking up in the morning, I go from 100 to 70, just by me awaking. You know, usually during the night, there's one or two kids that will wake up as a result of me needing sleep, right? That's where my brain goes, oh, I need sleep, how did you? I'm right away down as a result of that. Also, some reason at 3 a.m. when I'm going to sleep, I feel the necessity to get sex. Like a sexual thing, like the night of having the Seder to get sex. And I could sit for 5 hours of the Seder, like, and I've done this in the past, trying to make sure my wife for 5 hours of the Seder is comfortable so that when we get to bed at 3 a.m, she's going to be up to sex. So basically, I'm gearing myself up for resentment throughout the whole night. And then in the morning, you know, I come downstairs and the water's not hot. And I'm down to 40%. And before I know it, I walk on the street. By the time I'm on the way to shul, it's like I'm on empty. And basically, the only thing that's filling me, I'm wondering basically why when I'm walking out towards shul, I'm looking for the new outfits in Flatbush or the new styles. And then when I see that woman, I start automatically walking quicker without even recognizing that I'm walking quicker. In the earlier part of the walk, I'm taking it easy and enjoying life, but all of a sudden my steps are getting quicker. And I'm wondering where that is. So usually my brain went to a place because I'm a sexaholic, so that's why I'm doing that. Today I recognize that no, it's a much deeper thing. You know, it's the athlete's foot of the soul, which is very simple. I'm very uncomfortable, I'm resentful, and I have fear. But the fourth step gives me something to do about it. It really, really does. So it's an opportunity when I, first of all, to surrender, literally on all four, to say, God, I offer my sex over the next 8 days to you. No matter if I get laid once or if I don't get laid at all, if I get laid five times, it has nothing to do with who I am. It doesn't have to do with my manlyhood. It doesn't mean that the next door neighbor is having more sex. It doesn't mean I'm less than. It doesn't mean I'm more than. It doesn't mean my marriage is good. Doesn't mean my marriage is bad. I am a broken man, and I get filled through lust and sex. And if I have it or don't have it, doesn't define who I am. What defines who I am over the next 8 days is what type of father I am, what type of husband I am, what type of child of God I am, who I'm there for. And if I'm staying lust-free, if I'm staying sexually sober, so that's really what the whole fourth step does for me. It takes the old life like we did in the reading and it makes it into a new life. So what was so powerful for me, and I really suggest everybody reading from page 105, in the fourth step in the white book, is he really warns everything that we're hearing about and wondering why. The guy stayed sober for 6 years. Wasn't he working a good program? 6 years. Why did he act out? The guy's sober for 60 days. Why did he act out? Isn't he coming to a meeting a day? The guy is sober for... And over the 8 years of recovery, I'm hearing this constantly, like, why is the guy acting out? Wasn't he the guy in recovery? And it's all about the fourth step. So I think for starters, to take a deep breath and to remember that if I have a resentment and I don't deal with it, I will act out. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of just when. When I have fear, I can push it under the carpet and numb it out with food or movie or sports or, for me, Westbrook today, you know, whoever it might be. I could numb it out through that, but eventually, 3 days later, I'm wondering why I'm like, you know, I'm taking that action. It's because I didn't work through that resentment and fear. So the willpower of, now I'm in a 12-step program, and I don't want to act out. That willpower of, now I'm going to meetings, now I'm making my phone calls, so now I'm going to stay sexually sober, is now going to do absolutely diddly squat for me. And like we explained so many times, I have a huge, huge, painful, insane disease in my heart, in my stomach. And if I put a Band-Aid over it, it just heals the outside of it, but the inside is still oozing, and the wound and the pain and the disease is still festering. So at this point, I think it's very important. We'll ask Ellie if he minds reading so eloquently the beginning of step four, because I think it's really the crux of the, and the importance of what we need to accomplish over here.
Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, facing the wild elephant. Something inside us always knew we'd have to face ourselves, but we kept running away, refusing to take that long, deep look into the mirror. And the longer we put it off, the more we resorted to our drug to cover the feelings and guilt, which produced an even uglier image we had to flee the more. Continue. Mm-hmm. We were like the man in the ancient parable who, fleeing a wild elephant, takes refuge in a well. He hangs on to two branches over the opening while his feet rest on objects jutting out from the sides. Suspended from one branch is a hive of honey, which he starts eating. The pleasure this gives him, plus the darkness of the well, keep him from seeing that two rats, one black and the other white, are gnawing away at the branches from which he hangs. That what he's standing on are really four snakes thrusting their heads out of their holes, and that below him is a dragon with gaping jaws waiting to devour him.
I think that's basically the idea. If you didn't get that, in short, we're holding on to a branch for our dear life. I'm not going to lust, I'm not going to act out, I'm not going to lust, I'm not going to act out. But there's a resentment and there's a fear that's eating up on that branch. So I could hold on for dear life, that branch is about to come down. That idea of I'm not going to act out is not going to help. So working the four step, getting rid of the resentment, getting rid of the fear, is really what's going to work. There was another just quick reading here that really put it into perspective. And I think we'll end with this. You want to read, Chaim?
Making the wrongs right, step 4 through 10, the toughest act in town. Sadly, many men and women with years of physical sobriety and 12-step programs never make the breakthrough to the heart of the program and true recovery.
So if I could just say something. He's telling you there's men and women in program that are here for years and years that are staying sexually sober, then acting out, and the newcomers or the old-timers are like, what's going on with them? They never even entered recovery. Sure.
So you're saying that working through resentment is going to help you with fear.
Working through these resentments and this fear.
Holding on that branch is a combination of fear and resentment.
Correct.
And by working through your personal resentments, which has nothing to do, essentially, seemingly, is not connected to holding that branch, has to do with the resentments with the things all around you, that's going to enable you to let go of lust completely?
Correct.
You're also through the fear.
What's forcing me to lust, I didn't understand this for years in program, and I fought it. Yeah. I said, I'm made up of lust. I want lust. I came to realize it's true I want to lust. My DNA is lust. Right. So whether I'm happy or sad, I'm going to want to lust. You know, whatever shoes I buy is depending on what I think I'm going to get a lust hit off of. That is the reality. But also the reality is when I'm resentful and when I'm fearful, the intensity of the desire to want to lust or to act out comes to the surface. And if I work through that, then the only thing I'm really left with is that manly desire to lust. Maybe a little stronger than that because I'm a sexaholic and I'm so used to doing it in route. When I walk out of my house, my natural look is I don't look at my car. My natural look is I go like this, just to scout the area to make sure, you know, what's in my vision. So I might still do that, but as I work through my lust and resentment, I'm starting to get comfortable with myself. So if I'm comfortable and I'm relaxed and I'm at ease, I'm not going to act out. But like he says, there are people in program, and this hit me so strongly. I'm in program for 8 years, right? There are guys in program I've seen after 4 years also lose it. They could be in program and yet never enter the fellowship of recovery. It's a harsh statement, but if the guy's coming to thousands of meetings and he's making thousands of phone calls, it's amazing what he's doing. But the example I gave somebody yesterday is, imagine I registered myself to swimming lessons, right? And I went to the place and everybody's jumping into the pool, or some people, and then there's those guys that are outside of the pool talking about the beauty of swimming and talking about how the lessons are going to be so encouraging, and sitting back and checking out the towels, flirting with the women, of course, and enjoying the view and taking a cup of water and leaving the place so vigorated of how swimming is so important. After 6 months, did the guy learn how to swim? That's what people are unfortunately doing in our fellowship. They're making the phone calls. They're even reading. They're coming to meetings on time, and they have that passion. They never jumped into the pool. If you want to know how to swim, you need to swim. Coming to a 12-step program and not working the 12 steps is like the guy going for swimming lessons and not entering the pool. So that's why, unfortunately, so many people are acting out, and that's his warning. So yes, I found God in my step three, and I surrender lust, and I understand it's going to kill me. It's not going to do it.
So you're saying not working the program can keep you sober for a period of time, just like a Band-Aid or whatever.
That's it, correct. But eventually, the wound inside will see a pop, and if you look around the program, like I said so many times, tons of guys who stayed sober for a very long time, but never jumped into the pool, it didn't work. And I know for myself, I could work the program and the steps and everything, but if I take a short period of a break, there I am in Florida, flirting with a woman. Why? Because, yeah, I called my sponsor, and yeah, I made that phone call, and yeah, I surrendered my day, and I hit my knees. Got to get into the pool.
I have knowledge of, I could tell when I'm feeling resentful. I could tell when I'm feeling fear, but like my brain tells myself that I'm feeling resentful now. I know which character defect I'm feeling, jealousy, envy, but now what? Like, what do I do about it? How do I get rid of it?
Beautiful, beautiful. So what you're saying is what I would like to do right after the reading, is practical examples. If everybody could just share like either a resentment or fear that's coming up for them, and we could go through their process. Because that's exactly, I could identify exactly when I'm feeling like resentment, full of fear. But usually my brain goes to a place of like, God, take it away. Or I can't deal with this crap. And I move on.
Or I'm powerless.
Thank you. God, I want to go swimming. Allow me to jump into the pool. You got to get into the pool. I mean, you know what I mean? You got to walk into the pool. You got to pick up the paper. And if you feel powerless over picking up the paper and pen, you say, God, do it for me. I needed to do that with my step four. I needed to ask God to pick up my pen and paper for me. I couldn't do it. It was too painful. And even when I picked up the pen and paper, and I started to write down the resentments and the fears, the pain was so enormous. I reminded it to my wife just the other day. And my wife said, yeah, remember how you took your notebook and you tossed it through the kitchen. I threw it physically with the pen, and I stormed out of the house in pain, crying, because the pain was too much to bear. Think about it. That's how deep the pain is, and that's from just starting to write. So obviously, if this is the pain and the hurting and the confusion, obviously, if I'm in a great place here in program, I'm doing great. So why, when my wife left, did I go onto YouTube? Because I'm not doing great. I put on Band-Aids, I came to the club, and we spoke about swimming, so I'm feeling great, but at the end of the day, I didn't go swimming, so I'm dying inside of myself. Of course I'm going to go.
Is it only us that we're addicts, so we need to be able to
The big book talks about, yeah, the big book says that as an addict, we, maybe for healthier men, they could have a resentment, justified anger, justified resentments. I don't know. I didn't really care today. For me, I know that when I'm resentful, it's all bets are off. When I'm fearful, all bets are off. And I want to be happy, joyous, and free. So I have a tool today that when I'm fearful, when I'm resentful, I actually could do something about it. So I'm in a dark, terrible place by being resentful. I could get into a place of serenity and peace. When I'm resentful and I'm fearful, imagine the picture of all the lights going off, my glasses become foggy and blurry, and get scratched up. Now, I am about to make healthy conversation with my wife under that feeling. And I'm wondering why she doesn't look beautiful. Because the lights are off, your glasses are... I'm wondering why my kids are getting under my nerves. Because the lights are off, your glasses are foggy, your glasses are all scratched up. I'm wondering why my financial fears are all of a sudden bugging me inside, I don't know what they're doing. Because the lights are off, everything. What the program gets us to do right now is start cleaning those glasses, turning back on the lights. And then all of a sudden, when we're in this place, my wife is beautiful, my family is beautiful, I am financially stable, I'm not going to be penniless for Passover. All of a sudden, all those fears of how my whole life is about to fall to pieces, fall to the side, and it could actually be normal. But if I'm in that dark room and I'm going crazy and I sit there and I say, God, I'm powerless over being in this dark room and I'm going out of my mind, turn on the light. Turning on the light is taking out the pen and paper and getting ourselves to the light.
But part of the resentment is nothing to do with, in other words, you're not addressing fear. Are you writing down your fear?
Two separate things. There's resentment and then there's fear.
But fear has nothing to do with resentment.
Yeah, it does.
Of course it does. No, what I mean to say is you're not addressing your fears in step four, are you?
Sure. There's a resentment list. There's four lists. There's a resentment list. There's a fear list. There's a who did I harm list. And then there's a sex list. If I was doing it, I would have started off with a sex list. It would have gotten people to start working the fourth step. I don't know why he started put the sex list at the end. You know what I mean? But I guess he figured that if he puts the sex list at the end, everybody will do all the three to get to the sex. He didn't realize that, no, we just want to do the sex conduct and that's it. But that's the idea. Yeah? So point and scenario, basically, okay? Anybody want to give an example, like Edward was saying, what are you either fearful of or resentful of under, try to do it under 15 words.
Okay, I'm resentful at people that go to exotic places for Passover, because it makes me jealous that, and I feel inadequate that my experience is too boring. My Passover is boring and...
Beautiful. Clear? So I am resentful for all those people that go to these fancy hotels or vacations or cruises or et cetera, et cetera. That's, so to keep it very simple, I'm resentful at the institution of vacations, mm-hmm. Right? People that indulge in luxury, right? Mm-hmm. Right. Why am I angry at them? Because either I can't afford it, or because I'm in fantasy. For me, this is what comes up, and I think some of us could identify. They're for sure getting laid more, because any husband that takes their wife to that place gets laid more than
she appreciates it.
She appreciates it, and the only thing she does is pounce the guy for it, right? So why am I angry? Basically, it goes right away to sex for me, is because I think I could get more. But also, I feel inadequate, and I feel less than, and so on and so forth. Okay, what part of self was hurt or threatened? My self-esteem, right?
Pride.
My pride, my emotional security, my pocketbook. My God, how does that guy have such deep pockets, not me? My ambitions, what bigger, better, more, you know?
It's not called pocketbook.
What?
You wouldn't check your pocketbook in this case. It doesn't affect you.
Should I tell you why? Because what ends up happening, you have to know, but every person for themselves, what ends up happening is I go crazy and I'm like, that's it, I'm buying my wife this crazy gift for Passover.
Or I'm going to spend money to compensate.
Now, let me show you a very important point. This is what happens in our sick mind. So I go to the store now and I buy my wife this expensive gift. This whole gift is based off of a resentment. So no matter what her response is to me, could her response fill this broken void of mine?
No.
So I set myself up for failure by buying her a gift. And I'm wondering why she's not appreciative to the gift. Because I gave it to her in a way that took her and threw her 100 miles away from me. And she feels it. She's not an idiot. She knows when it's coming from my heart or it's coming from my penis. Because the whole reason I gave it there is because those women are getting laid and I want to get laid. So really the reason for me giving her a gift is only because I want to get laid. Do you understand? So then that night when she's distant and she's not getting into bed with me and I'm wondering, the whole reason I gave her the gift is because of that. What the hell is going on over here? You know what it does? The resentment now becomes magnified. That's the beauty of starting to write the step four. We get to the truth of really what's making us, what's really happening. And let's continue. Okay, so that's what part is affected. Where was I to blame? First of all, I need to right away always for myself is go back to my step three. Did I offer my will to the care of God? Did I say, God, build with me how you wish? So if he believes that I'm supposed to be in this exotic mountaintop somewhere, wouldn't I be there? So the first thing is, where am I to blame? I obviously didn't give my will over to the care of God. That's the first thing, always for me. Selfish, am I being selfish? Am I being dishonest? Like, are you serious? In my brain, it goes to that place. I have these conversations sometimes with my wife after years in recovery. I really do believe they're getting laid more. I really do. Now, the reason I need to believe that they probably are is, you know why? Because then I have a right to be justified. My anger has a right to be justified. And you know why I believe they're getting laid more? Because I'm a sex addict, and everything leads to sex. So if I had to believe anything in order to have my penis ejaculate, I'm going to believe it. Make me believe in, you know, like I remember once in program saying, you know, maybe we should all become Arabs. To live our whole life knowing that there's virgins in the next world we're all in. Right? Like, why the hell not? There's this idea of, like, why not go for it? So I'm forced to believe that. So I'm selfish. I'm dishonest. I didn't really give my will over to the care of God.
Also,
I'm self-seeking.
It's a lack of acceptance of my
reality. Lack of acceptance. Frightened. I'm frightened. I'm not going to get sex. Oh my gosh, you know, inconsiderate. Am I really considerate? I'm inconsiderate. What's the exact nature of my wrong? Now over here I could spend, you know, a few seconds of like, so what is my real exact nature of wrong? I was on YouTube yesterday what could be the exact nature of my wrong? I was on YouTube yesterday playing around with lust. So this whole everything that I'm going through for the last hour that I turned my whole house upside down about, that I yelled at my kid about, that I'm financially fearful about, that I'm resentful those people going to these places for vacationing about, all is as a result of the action of lust that I really took, because now I'm feeling horny, I'm feeling my sex drive much stronger, and I really want my wife to jump me. That is my real exact nature of wrong. Hey, it all starts with sex and it all ends with sex. That's the beauty of going through that process. And then to simply say, God, allow those people over there to have a great time. Instead of fighting with those people, I feel like I'm at war with those people. That Lexus, I'm in total, at all time fighting. Allow the guy to enjoy his ride in that Lexus. Allow that family to have a beautiful vacation. Allow those people to have a great time. Let them be safe. You know, to bring it to a spiritual place. What's another example
of...
Feel
the words instead of just saying...
You don't. No. You don't. Don't wait for feelings. The only feelings we have in program is for sex. Seriously. Don't wait for feelings. There's a good, very, very good point. I was taught in recovery. Don't wait for the feelings of feeling that connection for your wife in order to say, I love you. Say, I love you, and then you'll feel those connections. And then those feelings will happen. Normal people feel feelings of love, so they go to the store and they buy flowers and they bring it to their wife. What I needed to do is buy the flowers, give it to my wife, and then feelings started. That's the wrong wired brain. If I'm feeling not close to my children, what I need to do is not now scream and yell. What I need to do is take actions of love towards them, and then the feelings happen. If I'm resentful towards those people out there on these boats and islands and gondolas who are doing on their vacation, if I wait for the feelings of love towards my Jewish people or towards my relatives who are just, I'll never, if I stop praying for them, may they be safe, may they be enjoyable, may they have peace, may they have a good sex life. The things that I want, all of a sudden the feelings of peace will overcome me, and the resentment level will go down automatically.
I go to that place of like, oh, it's wrong to like indulge, and like, you know, like I start like, you know, debating. Like,
right, but this is, we start recognizing that it's all because I'm really resentful.
Meanwhile, like if it was me over there, I would be loving it.
Right, right, right. Thank you, God, for reminding me how sick I am. How screwed up my brain is. To keep it dumb and simple. Let's do this reading over here to just bring it back to how important this practice is. Go again, sorry.
Sadly, many men and women who come to physical sobriety in the 12-step programs never make a breakthrough into the heart of the program and true recovery. The biggest obstacle seems to be steps 4 through 10, the core substance of the program. It is these steps that seem to be the least realized in actual experience. When they're first exposed to the steps, many of us balk. The process of righting wrong is foreign to us. It seems light years away in another dimension. We can't connect with it. We either dismiss it out of hand or say to ourselves, I'm doing fine just like I am. Blindness and denial. It is as though we will go to any lengths to avoid doing what is required for our own healing. When some members see that such persons are captive to externals rather than having an awakening to life, they have been overheard to say, if sobriety is all there is, I want no part of it. There are few things so pitiful as an aborted spiritual life. The amazing thing is that we can give the appearance of life even though we are dead.
So basically what he's saying is a big thing over here. Not only people haven't entered in recovery, people are in the fellowship, in coming to the pool, as we're explaining, giving off an impression of that they're rocketing into a different dimension. They're walking around feeling, making believe that they're doing great and their insides are dead. Isn't that painful? So a lot of times where my passion comes from is by, I get this all the time. Chaim, how did the guy act that? He was working such a good program. I get those phone calls. I get the phone calls a lot of time of the guy who acted that after a few years. Chaim, I don't understand. You saw the guy. He was there. He appeared to be there, but inside he was dying. Isn't that painful? He's dying. So in order for us to be alive, we need to wake ourselves up and really be alive here. Be alive is actually working steps 4 through 10, like he said, on a continuous basis. And if you want to feel alive, you'll see for yourselves, if you're doing it, when I'm doing it, I feel like a different person. But it's very simple. I'll give you a trick. And this is not to judge other members in the fellowship, but it's just a reality. A guy's coming in continuously saying, I'm angry, I'm resentful, I don't understand this religion, this my boss, blah, blah, blah. And he's coming in daily like that. I don't care if the guy's sober for 10 years, he will act out. And he's dying inside. He's just giving off an appearance of doing great. It's sad. But if the guy comes in day one and day two, he says, and I sat with my sponsor and I made phone calls and I worked through my step 4 and I got over this hurdle and I got over this resentment, you could actually be liberated. You could actually want to call. And to bring it down to the thing, every holiday for me, myself, and I, there was a whole comparing war inside my brain between my wife's clothing and the world's clothing. How my wife's going to look and how the world's going to look. Why is everybody shaking their heads? How my wife's going to appear and how everybody else is going to appear. There was that intuitive, only an addict could understand that pain. of my wife's shoes and that her shoes. There's an eternal pain of like, ugh, feeling just like you want to kill this woman, right?
So your wife, or the other one?
Both. I wake up in the morning again. I'm already at like 20%. I just lusted it on the way to shul, right, to synagogue. Lusted on the way back. Was resentful at shul. What's the business with all of this business here, right? Come home, and the only thing I want is my wife to be bigger than life to come out and greet me. Of course I want it to be bigger than life. Look where I'm holding. Look where my emptiness is. Look how low I became. So the beauty of step four is where instead on the way home, I could say simply, God, take this all away. This is all noise. The reason I'm feeling this way is because I'm hurting. This comparing with other women is my issue. If I stared at other women and then I come home and my wife's not pretty enough for me, poor me, not poor her, not poor anybody else. And it's my responsibility. I need to own that. And that's the change in attitude, the shift. So when I recognize all this now, I won't lust after the other women on the way home. So in order, because I know intuitively, if I look there, I'm not going to enjoy here. And now I could be honest and I could be open. And you know something? I don't automatically feel like what my wife buys is beautiful. I feel that what your wife buys is beautiful, and you feel that what my wife buys is beautiful. That's our sick brain. So what I need to do is start complimenting her, even though I don't necessarily love her clothing or the way she's looking today.
That's hard.
Right, because it's a rigorous honesty.
Rigorous honesty.
So I all of a sudden need to start taking those actions of love, and then the feelings follow. So if I'm sitting tonight resentful at my in-laws, what I need to do is help out more. If I'm feeling not connected to my kids, instead of waiting on the father figure, why isn't my kids coming over? This comes up for me all the time. Weren't they taught in school that I'm the king tonight? Weren't they effing $5,000 tuition? Then starts the whole list of resentments. Take actions, go over to your kid and give him a beer hug. And that's how this all falls.
You just brought an interesting point for me. You said if you're resentful at your in-laws, whatever, you'll help out more. If I'm resentful at my parents, that my parents do nothing and they just want everyone else to help out.
Correct.
Helping out more is just going to feed that resentment.
Got it. So again, nowhere in program does it say to think. Stop thinking. God, take it away, because the next thing I'm going to do is play with myself. I'm retarded. I don't have a choice whether to do what we're talking about for the last few weeks. I need to do it because I am retarded. So that's why I need to take these actions. And I could do it today in a way of like, I could walk out of the room and I could pray and say, God, these people weren't given the tools that I'm being given today. So if I'm feeling, for example, alone amongst 20 people, which happens all the time, even though I seem like I'm the guy, I can feel it inside, like I'm so alone. What I could do is take actions and not to feel alone, not to feel isolated. I could ask my wife, could we talk for a minute? And if she says no, because I want to hear what my father's saying, she didn't, I could learn that's not her saying, F you, I hate you, I will never ever again in my life have sex with you. No, that's not what she's saying. She's simply saying, I am listening to my father. And I could learn to love her for that and respect her for that. She's not there to fill me and to take care of me. I need to own that responsibility. You know, but if generally, what I have found, if I'm loving and I'm kind and I'm peaceful and I'm bringing serenity, then people react around me in accordance to that. So, in short, the fourth step is the biggest beer hug that God has given us in this program. It's not like, oh my gosh, it's just the opposite. It's like freedom. Like imagine if If everything I'm saying we're able to do on a daily basis, we're free. There's no power that holds us. All of a sudden, in the middle of the meal, and all of a sudden, a financial fear because, oh my God, I was supposed to call that customer. Stop. God made it that I shouldn't call that customer. That's lust. God, I'm not working today. Could you please remove that lust from me? Could I be focused? And usually what helps is the connection to a child, the connection to a wife, getting my head off of it. So it's an opportunity to really have the most beautiful next 8 days possible if we continuously just work this. So very strongly, I suggest on page one something over here, basically 97 and on, which is step four, to read it a lot. Do a lot of reading over the holidays. You could put on the group, basically a lot of reading, just indulge in reading, and then writing, you know, just write it out top to bottom. There's four different sheets. There's one on resentment, there's one on fears, there's one on harms, and then there's one on lust conduct, on our acting out. Fill them all out, and then you're a different person. I'm a different person, and it really works. Good.
Yeah.
Serenity prayer.